Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Chart Choppers on the Chop Sports Network. I am your host, Alan Austin, joined by another member of the Chop Sports family here today, Matt Ibanez of Till Mets Do Us Part. Welcome to Chart Choppers.
Alan, I appreciate the invite. We've been talking about this for a while now, and I got to tell you, I'm a little excited because whenever I get the opportunity to talk wrestling, I'm always on board, and I think that's going to be our theme for today, so I'm ready to get into it.
Yes, today will be the 10 hottest acts in AEW All Elite Wrestling right now, heading into the full gear pay-per-view in a couple weeks. So this, just a couple clarifiers, this list is not my favorites. This is top 10, trying to be unbiased, hottest acts of somewhat importance going into the pay-per-view, and I know that you're going to have some differences of opinions. In fact, there's one major storyline that I am so out on, I didn't even put it on my list, even trying to be unbiased, because I just think I'm not into it. So we'll get into it in more detail. But to kick things off, at number 10, hottest act in AEW right now, Malakai Black. Ever since, you know, he left WWE, fired, released, however you want to put it, he's on a much clearer path now. He was wasting away with vignettes in the back in his last few months with WWE. And now that he's here in AEW, he's flourishing. He's got this character who's full heel, but the crowd has just been all in on him. Part of it might be anti-Cody at this point, but a lot of it is pro Malakai. In the ring, he's so good. That finishing kick he has is just lights out. So what is your take on Malakai Black? Do you believe he is one of the 10 hottest acts in the company right now?
Absolutely. And I wouldn't have even argued with you if you said he was higher than number 10. It's just crazy how he was setting up a character on WWE television, and basically all those vignettes that he was running was an introduction to wrestling fans, which led to his debut on AEW television. It's incredible how they dropped the ball with him. He's pretty much, in my opinion, I've been talking with some friends about this as well, he's kind of like a modern day Taker almost, with especially the way that AEW has been handling him. He's been awesome. He's been well protected. And like you said, I think the fact that he is a heel character, especially now because of his alliances with Andrade. So it seems like he's going a little bit more heel, but like you said, it's definitely the anti-Cody sentiment that's been the driving force behind the large crowd reactions in favor of him. But at the same time, the guy is just so damn cool and so awesome. So I can understand why people are backing him, but at the same time, I do think it was more so the anti-Codyism.
Yeah, and let us get to Cody, because he's not on this list. And the major reason is there's a phrase in wrestling, X-Pac heat. When you get hated on just for existing, it's not because you're doing good heel work, heel being the bad guy for listeners not familiar. He's just got this upswell of, like I said before, anti-Cody feeling. Like what they've been doing with Arn is really cool. I'd say Arn is way more over right now in the positive than Cody is. But I think people kind of resent Cody for the fact that his whole thing was being the throne breaker, anti-Triple H, and he's kind of settled into AEW's version of Triple H. So, you know, all with like the Stephanie to Brandy kind of correlation, being part of the company, being part of the ownership, it's just kind of settled that way. I personally love Cody Rhodes. It was one of the reasons I was so excited to get into All Elite Wrestling. But you got to call it for what it is. And I don't know how you feel, but I think the anti-Cody feelings are pretty warranted at the moment.
Look, going into like 2019, I mean, for the longest time, I was and still am a huge Cody fan. And it just feels like the last year or so, he's kind of been lost. But 2019, it could be argued that he was hands down the top babyface in all of wrestling. And I would say that it's hard to be a true babyface in the sense of what the word is, because nowadays it's more so if you're a heel, but if you're cool, everyone's backing you. So the idea of being an actual true to the term babyface, that's what Cody was in 19. Like the Silver Spoon promo with him and Jericho leading up to Full Gear, and you know, that year, it was so good, and he just went downhill ever since. Maybe it's because of taking himself out of the title picture and being stubborn in that sense, but I think things kind of just went stale for him. You know, when it came to like the whole Cody verse and him facing the likes of Anthony Ogogo and QT Marshall and the Factory, and all, like, he just kind of got lost in all of that. But you know, right now it's kind of, you know, I think people are holding on to the idea of him being that Homelander type character where people, you know, he thinks he's the face, but he's really the heel. So I think people are really holding on, hoping that that's the direction that they're going, because after that win on Malakai, we saw the reaction from the crowd. Everyone hated it. So yeah. I'm hoping that this Homelander character is just taking shape and that's the direction that they go in, because if it's not, and he kind of just stays in this, like you said, this Triple H type role, or this you know, John Cena type role, where no matter what, he's getting booed, or even Roman Reigns before he became the tribal chief and all that stuff. Like, I hope that that's the direction that they're going in. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to be a downfall for Cody, which kills me because I am a huge Cody fan.
I am as well. And I think once that switch flips where he becomes a heel, I think his first order of business is to negate the rule he established on himself where he can't compete for the heavyweight championship. It would be great. He's got to be in that picture because he still has A-plus matches and he's still uber talented. I think people also revolted against the roads to the top thing, kind of saw him as that, you know, media guy as opposed to like the blue collar grassroots wrestling guy. Malakai Black, you mentioned how he's teamed up with Andrade. As much as I love the idea of like Zelina Vega, her two men, like the one she managed and the one she's married to, teaming up, loved it. I would like to see Malakai more as the loner, but I'm fine with it. Ultimately, it's not the end of the world. Number 9, Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is the TNT champion. The crowd pops ridiculously when he comes out, and he does stuff in the ring that nobody else in the company can do. He's very unique. He's a special talent. He's got a lot going on. Sammy Guevara, number 9.
I'm big on Sammy, and I'm loving the fact that he's come a long way since, you know, the whole Matt Hardy stuff, where it was coming across like he's this unsafe worker and they was away from television for a while. So I'm happy that he's finally getting that rub. He's getting that push where it's, this guy is special in the ring, and you know, he's the TNT champion. Obviously it's special company now, because they've been passing the belt around a little bit lately, but the fact that he's, you know, the one that upended Miro is a big deal. And, you know, just seeing what he can do in the ring. The idea of true baby faces is great to see, because AEW, I think, knows how to actually make a baby face. So seeing him doing what he's been doing lately is awesome. And you know, I'm really enjoying the run so far. I love the fact that obviously it's being defended on television as well. And the match recently with Ethan Page, I thought was really good. So Sammy Guevara, all about it. Definitely a top act right now.
Yep. And another rule, which I am going to break my own rule, so I even state it. Inner Circle's not on my list as a faction. I mentioned before, there's a storyline I'm not into, and it's everything they're doing with American Top Team and Dan Lambert. Not a fan. It's not hitting me. And look, it's just me. You know, I'm not saying it's bad necessarily. I'm saying it's exactly what I don't like about pro wrestling. Like, I am willing to suspend disbelief for a character, for a storyline. But the moment you bleed the mixed martial arts into wrestling, and you're expecting me to believe that Chris Jericho is about to stand toe-to-toe with Jorge Masvidal in a wrestling ring. Yeah. I'm willing to suspend disbelief within the world of wrestling, and I just get pulled out of that world by this storyline. Not to mention, it has my least favorite babyface move, and that's resorting to name-calling and dumb... Look, it's been in pro wrestling since day one. It's just not my bag. So when you start like fat face dipshit chants or just like stupid chants, it reminds me of when The Rock would come back in WWE after being away and just expecting everyone to love him. It kind of reminds me of that. And it's no knock on them as performers. It's just the choices being made in that storyline right now are not, I am not into it.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that, because the sophomoric humor that Jericho's been doing, it's Chris Jericho has been someone who said he's always about reinventing himself. And this is kind of going along the lines of like Y2J. And he said that he wouldn't be doing that anymore. So yeah, everything that's been going, look, I'm not big on this entire storyline either. I'm not going to, you know, shit on Dan Lambert. I think his promos are actually, you know, pretty damn good, even though we could call him what he is, and that's just a parody version or just an actual version of what Jim Cornette is. Like, that could be what his character is, but I'm not going to take away from his promos. His promos aren't bad. It gets heat. But the overall story, like you said, I'm not into it either. I'm of the ilk and the type of person that wanted the Inner Circle to lose to the Pinnacle. And especially the fact that the Inner Circle hasn't even really been together. Like, they just said that they reformed and, oh, we're back. But it's like, you won that feud. You were allowed to stay together, which is why I hated when they won, because I've wanted more of the Pinnacle and I haven't gotten it. And now I'm sitting here with this whole Inner Circle storyline. It's like, I don't need this. And I'm with you. I'm not a fan of it. And I want it to end.
Yeah. And I think it will. And no knock on Lambert. He's a great heel who elicits a reaction. It's also hard for me to see like America Top Team come in and Paige and Sky are believed to be on their level of MMA fighters. It's just like a lot of odd blending that it's just not connecting with me. Mm-hmm. Number eight, combining people that are no longer together, but I feel like they kind of bring the same reactions. They kind of fit the same mold. Eddie Kingston, John Moxley tied at number eight as a package deal. Both guys, just love them or hate them, they are so over. And Eddie Kingston he's kind of like teasing a heel turn coming, which I think would be great. But I also think he should stay as that Stone Cold Steve Austin type babyface. I just think both guys are always going to be over. They could go out and the crowd's going to love them no matter what they do.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, again, your list, mine would be a little bit different here, but like in terms of Moxley, and I mean, more so Moxley than Kingston, because I'm high on Kingston as well, but like Mox has been next level for me. Like, one of my top, in my opinion, like top three, I would say, like top acts, everything he's been doing, especially the slow heel turn that's kind of coming. And I'm praying, and maybe we'll hit on this, but this match coming up with OC, I really think that he should win this match, like Brody versus Cody style, like 3 minutes, beat the hell out of him, just really prove him, like send a message to a top babyface like Orange Cassidy's. I think that'd be really good for this match with this full gear match with Bryan Danielson. But I agree with you, like Kingston and his match with Danielson just now, phenomenal. He is that anti-hero, this badass that just goes out there and does what he can. And the great thing about Kingston, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses.
Right.
And you can't even say that for a lot of people, because he can go out there, lose a match, come out the next week, cut a promo, and you buy into that guy again. That guy has sold more tickets than a lot of people on this roster, because he'll talk you into a building. He'll talk you into a show. And that's what makes him so great. And the match recently with Danielson was, in my opinion, probably I'd put that as Danielson's second best match back, right behind Omega. And it's close, because that match was really good. Mm-hmm. But both of them, Mox and Kingston, top end guys. And it's awesome to see, especially Kingston, because he came in, you know, during the pandemic, cut that promo on Cody. It was awesome. And ever since then, he's just been climbing and climbing and climbing. It's great to see. Definitely top end guys. And, you know, obviously very enjoyable to watch.
And you know that what he did during the pandemic worked, because the moment they went back into arenas, people were all in on Eddie. Mm-hmm. And the only reason Mox isn't higher is because he hasn't been super involved until recently in real AEW storylines. You know, he gets squash matches, he fights the New Japan wrestlers, but now he's kind of working his way back into the mix. Now, getting to my number six, the reason this person's not higher is because they have not yet worked themselves into the mix, CM Punk. My one friend put it this way: I'm ready for CM Punk to make his way into the MCU. So, like, you know, CM Punk, every time he's out there, biggest, this is not a list based on crowd responses. All right. Mm-hmm. He'd be number one.
Right.
He's got that prove it period. He was away from 7 years. He wants to put over the AEW guys. He wants to work these real hard matches where he has to really fight for it, because he's been out of the game for so long. I'm ready for CM Punk to kind of take over again. Now, I'm not saying full heel turn. I'm saying he doesn't need to go 10 minutes with Daniel Garcia. No disrespect to Daniel Garcia, but when he's facing those type of guys, it should be relative squash matches. Let's build Punk up again. Let's get him into some rivalries. I know they're teasing him with Eddie right now, probably for full gear. But let's get him into the elite's world. Let's really have him start, you know, yakking it up with Kenny or with, you know, Don Callis, where he's got to fight the Bucks. Let's get him into the AEW sphere more so, into the storylines. Let's get him his first real juicy rivalry in AEW. Other than that, it's electric. It's been a blast having him back. I'm so glad he is. But I'm afraid that if we keep along this trend, people are just going to be like, it's more of a novelty act. I want to see him in AEW fighting for titles, having rivalries. Get him in there in a program with Miro. Get him in there with like rivalries with guys who can really go. That's what I want to see from Punk. And if we did this list a month and a half ago, he's number one. He's number six right now. He's number seven right now. I apologize, but not for any lack of ability. I just want to see him get in the mix more.
Yeah. And I think they're working their way towards that. Like you said, with the hint on this past Rampage with Eddie, which, by the way, I thought that was a great way to really set something up, because it was something different. It felt real.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that he's definitely working his way up, and the match quality has been going up and up. Like, my whole idea for Punk when he first came, like when we heard that he was coming in, I said to a buddy of mine, I go, I would love it if this was like a rediscovering of Punk in the ring. Like, he has to build himself up. And that's kind of what they've been doing. Yeah. And it's been getting better and better. I don't know about you, but I thought the match with Fish kicked ass on Dynamite. I thought that was his best match to date. But seeing him work the different styles, he works Darby style, then he works Hobbs style. Now he's working with Fish. Now Kingston, it's going to be different as well. And you're seeing that the guy hasn't really missed a step. He's getting sharper in the ring. And like you said, I'm with you. I want to see him mixing it up with the likes of the Bucks. I would love to see a match that he mentioned that he wants to do. I would love to see it where it's Danielson and Punk versus the Bucks. Like, that would be an awesome match to see. 100%. And I think we are going to be getting towards things of that nature. I mean, look at it right now. You have it where Danielson's mixing it up with the likes of Kingston. He's most likely going to be facing Mox in the finals. Now you got Punk on the outskirts mixing it up with Eddie. Maybe we're going to see something like Punk and Danielson versus Eddie and Mox in a tag match somewhere along the lines. Maybe it's on TV. Maybe it's on a bigger show. I don't know. But I do think that Punk is climbing that ladder, and we're going to see him mixing up with the bigger names within the next, I would say, 4 to 6 months.
And don't get me wrong, the fact that he's given the rub to guys like Daniel Garcia, Powerhouse Hobbs, great. Love it. Love it. I think he's been doing A-plus work. It's only the fact I want to see it raised to the next level, because the MO has been a week's rivalry. So you set it up on Dynamite, pay it off on Rampage. Maybe it goes over a couple episodes. Darby was the real, like, they built that for a couple weeks. I want to see him in the, I want to look back at some of his rivalries in the near future. Mm-hmm. Number six, haven't done much in a couple weeks, but they're going to tear the roof off the place. Darby Allin and Sting as a combo act. They're at this point hand in hand, one of the most naturally over guys, always exciting, will do whatever to his body to go to get the scene over. I mean, that beatdown that he had by the Pinnacle and Ski Masks was brutal in the backstage area. And Sting, this is how you use a legend. The way AEW runs Sting is out of the park. Perfect. It is exactly what a company should do with its older stars. Arn Anderson, Sting, Don Callis, these guys are being used to perfection. Dustin Rhodes coming in and having a knockout match with Bryan Danielson, peppering them in or using them to their strengths at this point in their careers. Sting is the epitome of using a legend effectively week after week. They're amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible to me how perfect AEW has been since its inception when it comes to handling legends. And like you said, it's picking and choosing spots. It's putting them with the proper people. Like, in the beginning, I thought Jake Roberts was fine with Lance Archer. I think Archer's kind of moved on from that, but I thought that was a good fit. Sting with Darby, it makes sense. Don Callis with Kenny, it makes sense. Team Taz, I think Taz is one of the best promos in the company. I think Taz has been awesome. So the handling of the legends has been great in that sense. And in terms of Darby, it's just, I think he is hands down the best, I guess I'd call it, project that Tony Khan took on since the inception of AEW in creating a top-end star. To me, when they talk about the four pillars of AEW, and they talk about the likes of Darby and Jungle Boy and MJF and Sammy Guevara, like, they're all getting their time. They are. Mm-hmm. But to me, Darby is that guy. He was the first one. And I'm with JR. I know a lot of people aren't with JR a lot, especially these days. But I'm with JR when he compares him to Jeff Hardy in that sense. I do get that feeling with him. And I think that, you know, everything that he's been doing is just it's money. And just seeing him on Dynamite this past week, dressed as the Invisible Man, coming out, crowd pops, goes crazy. The guy's over. He's huge. And I'm very excited to see exactly how they're going to handle this match with MJF, because in my opinion, I think both guys could use a win. So it's always interesting to see when you put stakes on things, which is what AEW does, both these guys need a win. And I'm curious to see how they go about it.
Yeah. And we'll get to that other guy in a minute here. But Darby, unbelievable. Just like he has done what others can't, and that's be undersized and still feel like they could kick your ass no matter how big you are. Number five, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. It's one of the most over chants in the world right now. She is one of the best promos in the company. Just so good. A great champion. She is owning the division. She will run over Ty Conti at Full Gear and continue her reign. Just, you know, we're working our way to the Thunder Rosa rivalry, I assume. So that being said, she has been aces. And you talk about someone who came alive during the pandemic, the Lights Out match, ever since, she's been one of the top performers in the company, hands down.
And what's crazy with her is the fact that she hasn't been doing it for that long. And people were ragging on her in the beginning because she was up front with, you know, with the Elite and Cody and all them in terms of the red carpets and setting things up once the show first started. And people weren't really understanding her, and her as a face just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And then she became this heel character. And she's, like you said, ever since that that Lights Out match with Thunder, and just taking off, and the promos and the vignettes and everything has just been on point. And like you said, one of the most over chants, one of the most over women, one of the most over performers in general across wrestling.
Yeah.
And I do think we are working towards that rematch with Thunder Rosa. And I mean, which will be great. And don't get me wrong. I'm excited for the women's division in general, because not only has Britt taken it to the next level, but they're finally doing things besides her that are starting to step up, and it's going to make the overall division better with her at the top. So you have the likes of Thunder, you have the likes of, I'm a big Serena Deeb fan, you have the likes of now Ruby Soho. Like, they're doing good things within the division, but at the top, it's still Britt Baker show. It's going to be for a while. And, you know, I think that, yes, I'm with you. She's going to run through Ty Conti at the pay-per-view. Ty Conti, props to her, though. She has stepped up big time in terms of her growth from NXT to AEW. Great to see. It's always good to see another good women's performer, but I do think Britt's going to run through her.
Yep, and I love Ty Conti. Shout out to Ty Conti, Anna Jay. These performers are getting themselves over by being really, really good, just flat out. Number four is the aforementioned MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Other than the Elite, he is the best heel in the company. And I would say he is way more of a true heel than anyone in the Elite anyway, because Elite get, you know, to credit, we'll get to the Elite at some point here in this list, but one thing they do is the crowd plays along with them. So they boo them because they want to feel like they're part of the show. They love them, but they boo them. MJF elicits real heat. Like, he really toes the line, and he says things that he is a character who will not work in WWE, because we've seen what he can be with no restrictions, and you can't go back from that. He has set himself at such a high bar. He is in, and you know what? No one ever talks about MJF's in-ring. His in-ring is good, but it's his promo work and his character work that are next level heel. He's unbelievable.
What's incredible about MJF is the fact that he doesn't even wrestle that much, but he's wrestled. Like, I know Excalibur made a joke on commentary saying he's had like, you know, six or seven matches to this point or whatever it is.
His requisite match, he said,
his requisite match. But, you know, it's crazy because he doesn't work that much, but he still garners the reactions that he does because he is that damn good as a heel. And like you said, if he ever went to the WWE, and I know that's his shtick right now, he's kind of playing it up like, oh, my contract's up in 2024. If they don't pay me enough, I might go. Look, like you just said, we've seen what you can be turned up to 100, which is what every great character is, turned up to 100. You can't water that down, and that would be watered down in the WWE, and he would basically then be The Miz. And no disrespect to The Miz. I mean, he's great at what he does, but I think that once MJF became what MJF is now, you can't go back from that. So, you know, him as a performer, everything that he does, it's old school. Like one of the best things about him that I liked was he said in a promo, and I think he did it in a match too, where he's like, I can do all of these things that all these other wrestlers do, but I don't need to because I'm better. Like, I can do the flips. I can do this. I can do that. I don't need to do it. I'm going to slow everything down, and I'm going to be old school. And it shows that he is someone that definitely works with the likes of Dean Malenko and Arn Anderson, you know, just telling stories in the ring by being as simple as you can. Couple that with his promos, the guy is phenomenal.
Yes, he is unbelievable. I'm a huge fan. And his in-ring's not bad. Like, it's good.
Not at all. Yeah, like, it's good.
It's solid. I'm a big MJF fan. And there, just to touch on it, there was a moment in the match against Brian Pillman Jr. where he grabs Julia Hart's arm in a way that was so on the nose what he needed to go for. It didn't cross the line, but it showed just how much of a dirtbag he is. It's just great character work. He's a great performer. When we get back from this break, I will give the honorable mentions and we'll tackle the top three. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the four happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in a giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day, that's right, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com.
All right, welcome back. Let's get to the honorable mentions. Going to kind of, no order to honorable mentions, just going to touch on some people. And if there's anyone that stands out that you think, you know, is better than I'm giving them credit for, let me know. Jungle Boy in the Jurassic Express, always get a big reaction. One of the best entrance songs in the game. Honorable mention. Dark Order, Johnny Silver, Johnny Hungy, honorable mention. They do good work. We mentioned Ty Conti, Anna Jay. I'm not giving an honorable mention to Matt Hardy, Orange Cassidy. I'm trying to be fair. Right now, they are kind of just, you know, doing good work, but not standing out in my opinion. Andrade gets an honorable mention. I think he's been great. Him and Pac, honorable mention to both of them, just phenomenal. Jade Cargill. I'm a huge Jade Cargill fan. I can't wait to see what another 2-3 months in the ring even does for her. You know, I just can't wait. Hikaru Shida. And my last big honorable mentions, Dante Martin. I am just, my jaw is on the floor every time he's in the ring. I think he's incredible. Maybe one of the top three natural athletes in the company. And then my other big honorable mention, and this proves that it's not my top 10 favorites, are the Lucha Bros, because Rey Fénix is a top three AEW superstar, in my opinion. I think he's undoubtedly, you know, I mentioned Dante Martin being athletic. I don't think anyone could do what Rey Fénix does. So unbelievable. But because since they had that amazing match in the cage with the Bucks, they've been relegated to kind of the Rampage spot, which is where Punk is, and centering a show around Punk and the Lucha Bros is chef's kiss. But they haven't stood out. You know, they're kind of like falling in backwards into their rivalry with the Revival, where they with FTR, where they lost the AAA Tag Team Championships. Love them. They're in my top three favorites. But I think right now they're not necessarily one of the hottest acts. Super over. Those are my honorable mentions.
Yeah, I would agree with that list. And like you just said, Rey Fénix is, in my opinion, like you said, top three. He's incredible to watch. Yeah. Every time I see the guy in the ring, I'm amazed that he does what he does at the speed that he does it, with the precision that he has. It's always a delight to watch that guy do work in the ring. And obviously, I'm not sure what your top three is, but in terms of honorable mentions, in case they're not in there, I am
if
huge.
You think they're on there. If you think they're on there, let's save it.
Okay. I will save what I said. And then, if they're not, we'll come back to it.
Right. So
we'll come back to it. Okay.
All right. So let's get to number three. Okay. Number three is a cop out. Number three is because I only had 10 spots. And to be fair, in the last month, they've all just been together. So I'm not really stretching it, but it's the Elite, the Bucks, Cole, Omega. Boom, number three as a crew, because until this Hangman Page storyline really gets going with Kenny, Christian Cage kind of got hurt. So he's been out of the picture, not hurt, but he dropped the Impact title. He's been out of the picture. Kenny's been rolling with the Bucks, who haven't been in the tag team picture. And since Adam Cole debuted, he's had really good matches, but they've really been together, which is what I think was to be expected when Adam Cole came. So I have them there at number three, some of the most talented professional wrestlers in the entire world all together. How do you not love the Elite?
They have been on fire ever since the Bucks finally realized, look, we're better as those cocky heels, like those heels that what made them great back in the early 2010s up until the run Ring of Honor. Like, we know how great you guys are, how much you love the fans, and how much fanfare you created by being what you were in Ring of Honor, and then obviously creating or helping create in what AEW is. The second they said, screw it, we're going to go heel, we're going to act a certain way, we're going to be cocky again, ever since that moment, everything clicked for them. Because to me, I was very upset with how things went when it came to the FTR feud. I thought it was very convoluted. It didn't really come off the way I wanted it to or the way I thought it would. And ever since then, they've been on point. So everything with the Elite, with Kenny, has been working. You bring in Adam Cole, the guy is beyond over with the number one crowd response in wrestling, in my opinion. Guy's a superstar. How they let him go, I'll never know. But he is top end, top flight, and just like I said, there's no way you can really be against them, unless of course you're Jim Cornette, but I am not Jim Cornette. So
no.
I love everything that they have been doing. It's been aces. And I'm very excited to see how they continue this, especially if Kenny ends up dropping the belt. And if we start seeing some dissension amongst the Elite, I think there's so much story that could still be told with this group either way, that I'm excited to see how it all unfolds.
Absolutely. I'm a huge Adam Cole guy, and I don't think they let him go. I think they tried. I just think what they had in place for him when he could go be with his best friends in the business just wasn't going to sway him. So number two is Hangman Adam Page. Kind of went away, but since he's been back the last couple weeks, has had what I think is the most earnest babyface promo in quite some time. When he came back, talked about, starting up with AEW and continuing and losing himself for a minute, but realizing he was a cowboy and he could do it and he had to come back. Just a real honest, followed by he met up with the Dark Order and said, sorry, I've been gone, guys. Sorry you had your differences. I'm glad to see you worked them out. That's real babyface, without name calling, without bullying, without trying to be a tough guy. It's earnest and the fans are buying into it. Adam Page, Hangman number two.
Now, what's wild to me is everyone got so nervous when it came to Page not being in the main event at All Out. And the idea of, oh my God, you're bringing in CM Punk and Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole. Like, the spot's gone. It's just like you're ruining everything that you built. It's like you have to trust this audience, because no matter what, they could bring in anyone they want. This audience is craving what I hope is the moment in, you know, in Minnesota for Full Gear, where Adam Hangman Page hits that buckshot lariat and pins Kenny Omega, or even better, is the first person to actually kick out of the One-Winged Angel and then hits the buckshot and wins that title. People want that moment. They've been craving that moment. And the fact is, the guy is a superstar. Mm-hmm. Everything he does, he is top. He is at the top right now. And we could talk about all these other established bigger names. He was the project from day one, and the payoff is coming. So the idea that he was ever falling behind, or there's bigger names, you got to put him on the back burner, do this and this. Look, like he said in his promo, it's cowboy shit when you walk away to go see the birth of your son and be with him and then come back to finish what you started. That is cowboy shit. And I am excited, and I cannot wait for this match with Kenny and to hopefully see the crowning of a new AEW world champion.
I am hoping for it as well. He is on fire. And number one, how could it not be the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson? Since he came in, he hasn't had even remotely an average match. Everything he's done to this point in AEW has been a work. He's been, you know, the crowd's loving him. He's having these like dream matches. You know, we saw him versus Minoru Suzuki. He fought Kenny Omega in one of the match of the year candidates. His match with Dustin, his match with Kingston that you mentioned before. The guy is putting on a clinic each and every week. And it's just like, his promos aren't necessarily my favorite. I think he does a lot of the, you know, the name calling and you have no balls and you're not a man if you don't fight me, which I'm not a fan of. But his in-ring is enough to make up for that and more. And the guy is on fire.
One thing I want to say real quick, because you just mentioned him, shout out real quick to Minoru Suzuki for having an incredible run in the States. Like everything that that guy did across multiple promotions, I think he's finishing up with Impact right now, but everything that he's done to this point has been spot on. So shout out to him for being someone very successful coming from Japan and really connecting with the audience.
What a tour.
Put that up.
What a tour.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And, unbelievable. And another way AEW is using legends in the right way.
And when it comes to Dragon, I keep on telling this to my friend. We always talk about it. And I go, what's so great about Bryan Danielson right now is the fact that he's winning matches with anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I know a big thing in wrestling, like I can talk about Kenny Omega and the establishing of how great the One-Winged Angel is and how you want to establish that as a strong finish. I get that. But I also like when things are different. And I love that AEW always offers what Cody has always said that Eric Bischoff said you should do. Always offer a buffet. Always offer different things. So the fact that I get to see Dragon win a match with the Baizuke knee kick, and then he can win with a heel hook, and then he can win with a triangle, and then he can win with the cattle mutilation, which is great to hear and see again.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that he can win any other way, like, it sets up for big moments in matches that you don't even know that are going to happen. So I'm really into everything that he's been doing. Like you said, he's been having banger after banger after banger, and I don't think it's going to stop. And just the idea of him versus Mox at Full Gear, that style of match, how it's going to be hard hitting. It's going to be a little bit different, kind of a clash of styles. But at the same time, we just saw him and Eddie put on a clinic, and I think him and Mox will do the same thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's great is Kenny versus Page, Moxley versus Danielson, MJF versus Darby. You can't predict a winner. You just can't.
No, you can't. Yeah. It's unreal. And that's one of the best parts about this show, because anything can go any way, because there's like, whenever I go into a show and I can't pick winners, or it's like, I've been so used and so, you know, preconditioned into saying, okay, I see a car, I'm like, bing, bang, boom. Okay, this is how it's going to go. Here's all the winners. Here's all the losers. But when I go into an AEW show, I just know I'm going to have a damn good time. And I, 9 times out of 10, I can't pick the winner. And that's great.
If I had to put a prediction, I would say Paige wins because you've already done the storyline where he loses his last chance. So if he loses here this time, it's kind of like you're going down the road where he has to earn it again. He's earned it. I think he wins. And then you can have Moxley or Danielson be Paige's first rival. You could have the face-face gamer-gamer. I kind of think the better move would be to have Mox kind of that heel edge face Paige and have Paige go over Mox down the line. I think that would be the right move. You have Danielson lose and just like maybe fall into that role with Punk where they rival the Bucks or something. I would, that's what I would go for. And with MJF Darby, I think MJF should take this one. That's just how I feel.
I think that I'm with you. I think MJF is going to win. In terms of Danielson and Mox, again, another conversation I've been having with some friends. You know, some are siding with Danielson, some are siding with Mox. In my opinion, I think it should be Mox. I'm with you. I really want to see a Hangman Page versus Mox, hard-hitting match. And I think that a match like that can really go far in, you know, putting a stamp on what Hangman would be as a champion. Now, I am going to throw this out there. I do think that Page is going to be a transitional champion. I do not think it's going to be a long reign. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be rather short. How short, I'm not sure, but I don't think it's going to be a long reign. But establishing him early with a match like Mox, whether it's on pay-per-view at Revolution or if you want that to be like one of your top end, like the Winter is Coming show, like a bigger show on television, I'm fine with that either way. But I really want to see that match. And obviously, I think that Hangman's going to beat Omega.
And one thing AEW doesn't do is have multi-man title matches for the for any titles, really. It's usually one-on-one. Maybe they do a whole thing where it's these four guys with Paige as the champion and he drops it in a four-way, thus protecting him a little bit. But like you said, being a transitional champion, maybe it's something like that.
Yeah, it's good. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how they handle it. But like what's crazy also is like when you said you were doing a top 10 of this, I was sitting around, I'm just thinking like, let's see a top 10. And then you rattled off so many names in the honorable mention. And it's just like, there's so many good people on this show. And I know people like to complain because that's what, you know, the wrestling community is. It's always complaining, but people like to complain about the fact that, oh, you know, so-and-so's not getting enough TV time or this or that. It's like, no matter what, AEW becomes appointment television because it makes you come back for more. And sometimes you're not even getting what you really came in for. So I can tune in thinking I'm going to get Bryan Danielson or Kenny Omega, and I don't get them that week, but I still get an awesome show.
Yeah.
And then I come back and then I get those guys. And then they go away. And then someone like Miro comes in, or then they go away. And it's somebody else. So there's so much talent, and I don't think the talent's going to stop. I know everyone thinks that there has to be a stop when it comes to acquiring talent. I don't think they are done. I think more talent is coming. Which ones? I'm still a little bit on the fence on which ones are going to be, but I do not think they are done in the talent acquisition department.
Yeah, and the good thing is there's none of the hypotheticals we threw out there. I would be disappointed by none of them. Like, I'm all in, pun intended. But we've got to wrap it up. Matt, thank you so much for joining me. Why don't you tell the folks at home where they could follow you and your show?
Of course. Thank you for the platform. As always, it was a great chat. You can find me at @poison_Ibby on Twitter or at Till Mets Do Us Part on Twitter. And of course, if you're not listening to the Met show, hopefully you are a Met fan, or you know, maybe you're not. Either way, follow us on the Chop Sports Network at Till Mets Do Us Part. It's a fun time, obviously. We record every Wednesday, drop on Thursdays. We're on episode 26 is coming up. A lot's going on. So we'll be talking there. And yeah, join in and join the fun.
And we'll be back on this show to talk about AEW again down the road. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
As for the top 10 AEW wrestlers, I'll rephrase that. The top 10 AEW acts right now, that's that. Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers.